Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about this podcast or other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
We've all been there. We've all been in a place in our lives where we look around and things just don't seem right. Right? Sometimes we can brush the notion aside for a while, and sometimes we push it way down for a long, long time. But at some point, it pops back up again, resurfacing like an old friend. And we trip up on our current path and we wonder, how did I get here? And where am I going? In the Discipleship Project, we focus on the integration of faith and action. When our words and our actions reflect our faith in Christ, when we know what we believe and we live our lives accordingly, that's integration. Our inner lives reflect our outer lives, and vice versa. But when our lives become disintegrated, when we aren't really living out our faith, when we're running on autopilot for just a little bit too long, we get this sense of unease, like something's off. While that sense of unease is usually our first sign that we ought to pull off the path for just a little bit and do some self-reflection, we often just don't. Instead, we respond to this disintegration in two general ways. We project it. It is someone else or some situation that must be causing this disintegration. We point fingers and we place blame outside of ourselves. Or we internalize it. We feel ashamed, and we might even think that something's wrong with us. In both of these responses, we see ourselves or others as problems that need to be fixed. We beat ourselves up. We complain about others. And then we often just keep trying harder and harder to fix the problem. We have all been there. We keep trying and we try, and we don't know what the solution is. We feel lost. We feel lonely. Confused, almost like we're living in darkness. And that is a great place to find yourself, because the darkness is where we find Jesus. Jesus was no stranger to darkness. That's why we celebrate Christmas when we do. We wait for the light of the world to join us in the darkest moment in our part of the world. Christmas is a grounding place for Christians because it reminds us of the incarnation of God, and the way that God chooses to be with us is even in the middle of the worst parts. Listen to this. John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing has been made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all humankind." And later, John writes, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory." When we hear John's gospel describe the incarnation of the very Word of God, the incarnation of God, we might forget for a moment that this divine lifelight that John is testifying about was not a scholar or a king or some famous priest. God integrates divinity and humanity specifically in the form of a humble and poor man who asks nothing for himself. Neither powerful nor wealthy, Jesus was a simple organizer who built a movement calling people to follow him in this path of really just living like they believed in the kingdom of heaven. The light shines in the darkness. In the Gospel of Matthew, directly after Jesus delivers a brutally honest litany describing the kingdom of heaven as manifesting in the bodies of the poor, he says to those who follow him, Jesus, he says, "You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world." All this disintegration in the world, all the inconsistencies, the irrationalities, the war, the poverty, this feels like darkness. It can be life-draining, soul-sucking, maddening. But there is something in the midst of that darkness that is shining, and the darkness has not overcome it. On Christmas, we light candles, each one of us, as we remember the light of Christ, and that it shines even now in our darkness, that Christ continues to be with us as the light of the world, in us as we follow him. We each have a unique light to shine as we live in a way that integrates our faith and our actions. We can be the light of the world. Only we don't do this alone. And there is a pretty clear path outlined in the Gospels. Our enlightenment, so to speak, comes not from studying about it, or talking about it, or using the right language for it. It doesn't come from following all of the rules, or knowing the right people. It doesn't come, I don't have any light up here. Speaking of which, it doesn't come from money or power or status. If the incarnation of God, this Christ mystery of life light, teaches us anything, it is this. The light of the world is solidarity with the world. Christ's solidarity with us is not the kind of like arm's length solidarity we tend to favor, like writing a letter of support, but the kind of solidarity that holds stake. This is so key because communities are only ever really changed by those who hold stake in their community. If we want to see change, we have to make the change. If we want to see light, we have to be the light. But we can't do that and avoid the darkness. When we read the Gospels, we get like Jesus' greatest hits. But in my holy imagination, I believe that actually following Jesus was probably not as exciting or magical on the day-to-day as we might think. There's a lot of travel, like on foot, to poor communities, a lot of small group meetings, a lot of sleeping on the ground, a lot of tedious logistics, and a lot of frustrating conversations with people who didn't get it. And I know I'm jumping ahead in the liturgical calendar, but Jesus didn't get brutally executed by the state at the insistence of a mob, like out of the blue. I am certain that much of this light in the darkness work carried with it a certain amount of uncertainty and doubt and conflict and fear. In other words, darkness. But we know the end of the story, don't we? Nod your head if you know the end of the story, right? The darkness does not overcome it. It is not any easier to follow Jesus today because the world is just as disintegrated as it was then. In this moment, we are, as a community, more aware of the darkness, more aware of our own limitations, and we see the very normal and very human responses to this. We feel ashamed, like something's wrong with us. We project those problems outward. We think it's this situation, it's somebody else. We may even be waiting for something outside of ourselves to change, to clear that darkness away. But the good news is that we're not problems that need to be fixed. And we don't have to wait for things to change. Friends, we have what we need right here, right wherever you are. The light of Christ in the world is with us, shining in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Christ stands in solidarity with us, specifically when we seek to integrate our faith and our action. If we believe that the light of Christ is within us, that the kingdom of heaven begins in our hearts, we carry a torch of resilience, of renewal, of regeneration right in our very souls, even if right now it might just be a little spark. That spark, though, can grow. We become the light by being the light. Practically speaking, that's what we're trying to do with the Discipleship Project. The class meetings are designed after the historical classes that ignited a movement of devoted Christ followers called Methodists who sought to integrate their faith and action. They believed in living in solidarity with each other and created communities that cared for one another. There was a lot of traveling to poor communities, and small group meetings, and sleeping on the ground. There were tedious logistics and frustrating conversations with people who didn't get it. And the people called Methodists use a method to take a small spark of the Spirit and fan it into a flame that shined in the darkness. We are reclaiming this method of meeting weekly in small groups to nurture the light of Christ within us and within each other. Our purpose is to work together toward wholeness by practicing integration of faith and action. It's something that we learn by doing, and we just notice how the light unfolds in our lives. We believe that we cannot do this alone, but that together, in Christ, we have everything that we need to gain this wholeness of life. When our faith and our actions are integrated, it does kind of give us a sense of wholeness, of being connected to everyone, to everything. But of course, this isn't a state of being. It's a way of life. So we practice, and we fail, and we learn, and we succeed, and we learn. And we practice some more. All of this is to say that if you are feeling this sense of disintegration, that unease that you can't quite put your finger on, you're okay. You aren't a problem that needs to be fixed, and you don't have to wait for the world or the people around you to be fixed either. If you can feel or seek in any way that glimmer, that spark of light, friends, that is Christ. That is our lifelight. We believe that we can be the light. We believe that we can become the light. Friends, on this first Sunday of 2022, can you believe it? You are invited to commit to a practice, to work toward wholeness, so that you can shine your unique light even more brightly in the world. We believe that the life light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Let there be light. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, repeat.